Good. So, Ephesians. We've been doing Ephesians for a little while. All right. There you go. So, let's do a little bit of review, and we'll do our last lesson in the book of Ephesians. All right, so remember, the first three chapters of Ephesians were theology, and the last three chapters of Ephesians is sort of practical application of the theology in the first three chapters. So what we saw in Ephesians 1, 3 through 5 is that we have every spiritual blessing in Christ. And Ephesians 1 is just a litany of the incredible range of blessings we have, which he says, which he lavished on us. We are chosen. We're holy. We're blameless. We've been adopted into his family, which is kind of the theme for our whole year, which is coming home to God's family. He chose us. He took us in. Outside of Christ, is there a slide about being outside of Christ? Yeah, outside of Christ, Ephesians 2, 1 through 7, we were dead in our sins. We were gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature. It was not a pretty picture, folks. We are separate from Christ. We're excluded from citizenship in the kingdom of God. We are without hope and we are without God. That's what it was before we came into Christ. But, and there's that but in Ephesians 2:14, God adopted us into his family. And so we got a family. But not the whole family's here. The kids are over there in the other room, and there's a few people who can't be here tonight, but we are a family. And it feels like a family. It really, really does feel like a family. The reason it feels like a family is because it is a family. All right, and we were adopted into this family. We weren't natural born children. We were adopted into that family, and God made the two one. That is the mystery. The mystery of all ages is that God formed Jew and Gentile into one family. And in Ephesians 2, 19 through 22, it describes us as a temple, as a building. And so, as a building, you saw what happened in Miami, right? That building collapsed. That was not a good thing, right? Be praying for those people. There's like 99 missing people. I don't know if you know about that. But God made us into a building, a temple, and we rise and fall as they did in Miami together. Everybody fell at once. And the mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel. And God's intention all along was through the church, through the family of God, corporately as a church, to make his wisdom known to the entire world. All right? And we have that love, which is high and wide and long and deep. That's the theology of Ephesians. And then chapter 4 through 6 is the practicals of Christian living. And we please try your best to connect the practicals of what God's asking us to do back to the theology of what we have in Christ, of the love that we have in Christ. All right? So, then we talked about, we're kind of like a family meeting, right? He talks about unity. I didn't do that. Did you do that? Okay, great. Well, let's go back one. That's magic. All right? It basically says we need to make every effort to keep the unity of this body, because Satan will tear it apart. Stuff's going to happen, folks. We're going to get mad at each other. It's going to happen. Up at the campus retreat, Jan and I and Mike and Isenia, we were working ourselves to the bone. By the end of the thing, we're like grumpy with each other, right? We got a little grumpy. Let's just be honest. But like, amen, we're family. We're family. We're going to stay united. We're not going to let something like that, mess us up. And the key to it is Ephesians 4:2. We need to be completely humble. Except, I was grumpy. I was tired. But either way, I need to apologize. We need to make every effort to maintain the unity. How much effort to maintain the unity? Every effort. I'm glad you're paying attention. Now we go to the next slide. All right, and then our unity in spite of our differences. In fact, the differences are celebrated in the church, aren't they? All right, we got some four people up here. They got some five people up here with some music talent. You know, Joelle doesn't think she has much music talent, but she does, right? I mean, it's pretty beautiful. It's pretty awesome. She was accusing herself of having a raspy voice, but that's not true. It's beautiful. And so we don't have elders, but we have people who do the work of elders, like the Cortezes and the Lions especially. We have teachers. We have evangelists. We have Bible talk leaders, hope coordinators. We have people out sharing their faith, leading worship. And each part does its work. That unity is based on the diversity and the gifts we have. And the leader's job, my job, is not to do the work, but it's to equip y'all to do the work, right? Build up, unify, grow up, properly taught doctrine. Okay, great. Then we started talking about, then we're kind of like have like a little talk here, because we got to talk about sin. All right? So we're going to talk about sin for a little bit, right? Did you get ahead of me on that? Yes, you did. Thank you. See, I had to just let Joe do the whole thing, and then I won't worry about it. Okay, good. So we were reading Ephesians 4, 17 through 24, and what Paul is reminding us is that before we were in Christ, we had futile thinking. Stinking thinking, stupid thinking. We were darkened. You and I, we were darkened in our mind. We were ignorant. We were downright stupid spiritually. We had lost sensitivity. Disgusting things could happen around us and it didn't even bother us anymore. We'd lost sensitivity. Our hearts had been hardened. And we had indulged in every kind of sin and impurity. We gotta be real about the world. The world is messed up big time. So let's pick it up. We kind of covered this a little bit, but I want to go back over it. I really want us to get this. So let's read verse 20 through 24. All right? That, however, is not the way of life you learned when you heard about Christ. You were taught in Him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You are taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, who are created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. See, what we need to do is, we need to put off the old self. We just need to put it off. Come on now. Right? That stuff, you know, you just need to put it off. All right?
Come on.
That sin and impurity. Yeah. The thing is, we kind of, you know, we tend to kind of hang on to it a little bit. But we don't just put off the old self. No. What's it say here? Oh, we put on the new. All right, we put on the new self. Yeah. We're putting on Christ. Because what did Jesus say? You know, you drive out the old demon, you sweep the house clean, and what happens? Seven demons come back worse than the first, right? So you got to put on the new self. We replace the old self with the new self, which is in Christ. I probably might. Collars all out of whack and stuff like that. But I'm just trying to make a point. We're different, folks. We put off those old things. How's it going? That's my question. That's our question tonight. How's it going at putting that darkness aside? That lack of sensitivity? That darkened thinking, that stinking thinking. How's it going? You know, when you step out of the house, You got to put on Christ. When you get up in the morning, you got to put on Christ. Let's go to Romans 13, 14. Romans 13, 14. Same thing as Ephesians 4, 24. But I kind of like the way it's stated here in Romans. Romans 13, 14. It says, I'll go back to verse 13. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not carousing and drunkenness, sexual immorality, debauchery, dissension, and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourself with the Lord Christ. Now, think about that as you're stepping out in the morning. I'm putting on Christ. I'm living like Christ. I'm going to be looking like Christ. Let Christ be the first thing they see when they see you. They need to see gentleness. They need to see conviction. Kindness. There's a great list later on in Ephesians. Ephesians 4, the last four or five verses of Ephesians 4. The list of the things they should be. Let me just look at some of those. Compassionate, forgiving. Those qualities that they need to see in us. Let me read verse 25 through chapter 5, verse 2. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood. Take that falsehood. Take it off. Falsehood. Right? Put off falsehood. Speak truthfully to your neighbor, for you're all members of one body. I mentioned two weeks ago that we need to be real with our neighbors about what's really going on here. If we see gossip, we need to call it gossip. Are your worldly friends going to want you to call it gossip? No, we're just talking about people. All right, when they're lusting, when they're, look at that, whatever, look at that butt or whatever, that kind of stuff. So you're lusting after women? We need to call stuff what it is. In fact, he's going to say, expose the darkness. That's what it says. We're going to read that later on. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we're all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry. Do not give the devil a foothold. Anyone who's been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, every kind of malice. Instead, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering. Again, remember, the love that is high and wide and long and deep that God gave us, well, we need to put that on. We need to put off lies. We need to put off sin that comes from anger. We need to put off unwholesome talk. Talk that doesn't edify. Filthy language. Questionable jokes. Unhelpful criticism. Gossip. Some of those things are still in our lives. We need to put them off. What have your conversations been like lately? Have you had conversations that weren't particularly edifying? Maybe at work? Unedifying, edifying, that means an edifice is a building, right? Edifying means building up. That thing in Miami definitely was not building up. That thing was collapsing. But we need to put off filthy language, cursing, suggestive language, jokes that probably if you told it in front of your mother, you'd probably be embarrassed. Things like that. What have your conversations been like? And bitterness, rage, anger. if you look at this list of sins, these are sins that cause division in the body. They make the body not come together, not to be a happy, healthy place. These are sins that makes it hard for us to come home and be together. Instead, he says, put on some things, right? Put off lying, unwholesome talk, bitterness, rage, slander. But put on, what do we need to put on? We need to put on Christ. What's it mean to put on Christ? Verse 1, it means to walk in love. So we need to put on the clothing on a daily basis of love. Put on Christ. Put on love like a garment. Right? Put that thing on. And as you're walking through life on a daily basis, just try to be aware. All right, this thing is probably needs to just be turned off or something like that. All right. There we go. Oh. That's David. David Alfaron. All right. Put on love. All right. Now let's read on. Ephesians 5. He's got some more sins to put off. All right. We're going to talk about sin tonight. All right. Are you comfortable talking about sin? I hope so. So let's read on. But among you there must be not even a hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity. He's going a little deeper here. Or of greed. Think about that. What would a hint of greed look like? Just a hint of it. Because they're improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a person as an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. For you were once darkness, right? Remember? You were in the dark. And we tend to drag that stuff in. You were darkness, but now you're light in the Lord. Live as children of the light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful to even mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. More sins to put off. Talks about even a hint of sexual immorality. Let's talk to our younger single people. Not even a hint in your relationships with each other. Not even a hint. That's why, you know, we don't walk into, say, a brother doesn't walk into a sister's bedroom and hang out in there. Does that mean they're sinning? No. But is there a hint? Could somebody think that? We need to be in the habit of not doing things that if somebody saw us doing it, we'd be embarrassed. All right? So if there's something that you could do, but honestly, you probably would hope nobody would see you doing it, well, then just don't do it, even though it's not sinful. I remember a few years ago, I was with Scott Green, who he's died now. He's leading the church in Seattle. And we're having to turn around, do a U-turn, and we went through a parking lot of a sex shop kind of place. And I'm looking around like, oh, let's get out of here right away. I hope nobody sees us. I mean, we weren't sinning, but imagine somebody saw us in a car in that parking lot. It's like, we're out of here. We're out of here. A married brother. Do you have a lunch with another woman? I mean, you know, it's just a business situation. No. No, you don't do that. You don't do that kind of stuff. Don't spend time with somebody of the opposite gender in where there's not much light. Or there's lots of light. Lots of light, you're good. No light, that's bad. Other people around, good. No one else around, bad. Does that mean you're sinning? No, but that he says, what's he say here? It's not even a hint. Not even a hint. because we're family. The point is, we're family. We love each other. And just the bottom line is, you're putting on Christ, you're putting on love, so don't do anything that even would suggest that. Just don't do it. That's what he's saying here. Don't go alone to movies in general. I don't want to give you a rule. I mean, come on, to give you a rule, that's a waste. But seriously, or certain movies for sure, bars, casinos, you know, again, it's not a sin to go to a casino. It's not. But, you know, hanging out at a casino, maybe not the best place, because maybe there'd be a hint there. I don't want to get legalistic here. I don't want to go towards legalism. But don't go to a place where if another disciple saw you there, you might be tempted to think, gee, what are they doing there? Wow, that's surprising. Just don't go there. You know, a couple of years ago, we needed ice for, we were doing an evangelistic event up at Bakersfield College, and I pull in, and it said ice. So I pull in, I'm walking in, I realize, oh, I'm in a liquor store. Oh, wow, I better get out of here right away. Well, actually, I bought the ice, but I shared with the lady. I shared my faith with the lady at the liquor store. Then I got out of there right away. Because seriously, somebody sees me walking out of a liquor store, am I sinning? No, but... I mean, really? If you saw me walking out of a liquor store, would it be kind of like, wow, that's interesting? Now, you'd probably give me the benefit of the doubt, right? But why would I want to put you in that situation, right? So just general principle. Now, no legalism here. I'm not giving you rules. If you feel like I'm giving you a rule, I'm not giving you a rule. All right? Because that's not helpful. Go to Colossians 3. It says rules are not helpful. New rules. But I'm just saying, as a principle, not even a hint, right? Oh, and then not even a hint of greed. Not even a hint of greed. We need to be careful how we spend money. Some of us have a pretty good income. Most of us don't, but some of us do, actually. All right? And how do you spend that money? Are you buying, like, you know, super nice cars? All right? Super nice clothing, really expensive vacations. Why are you buying $140 shoes? I'm getting real here. I'm talking about not even a hint of greed. Again, I'm not giving you a rule. I'm not saying these things are sin. I'm not saying that. But I'm just the Bible. This is God speaking. He says, not even a hint of greed. What does a hint of greed look like? I'm not sure exactly what it looks like, but all I know is I don't want to have a hint of greed. All right? So, for example, when I'm giving talks around the country and I'm motivated by the fact that this place will give me more money than that place. Really? Is that the reason you're going to go there? Now, on the other hand, you know, if you need some money, you're getting paid more money. You know, if the company's going to pay me more, I'm going to take the raise. You know, if they offer me the raise, I'm going to take it. Of course you are. But Paul tells us, God tells us through Paul, that as a family, not even a hint of greed, not a hint of sexual immorality, not a hint of impurity, not even a suggestion of that, not even the appearance of evil. And it just says right here, and not even a hint of greed. And I'm trying to describe it without being legalistic. I'm struggling to describe what it looks like without giving you a legalistic rule. But if I don't suggest what it might look like, then why, you know, then there's nothing to apply. So think about it. What does greed look like? What does materialism look like? It looks like the average American acting the way they average do. You know what I'm saying? Not even a hint of greed. And obscenity, right? Verse 4, he says, nor should there be obscenity, foolish talking, or coarse joking. Again, we kind of push the edge of that. I think especially the younger people among us tend to do that a bit more. Kind of ha 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 ha. But really, maybe not so funny. All right? Why should we not do these things? Well, it says it right here. It says, the reason we don't want to have a hint of sexual immorality or even a hint of greed or foolish talk or coarse joking is because that's what the people are going to hell do. right? He says, these impure people, immoral people, greedy people, the ones that do the full version of your head, the hint there, because it's only a hint, right? It's only a hint, and it's not even a sin necessarily. It's just a hint. It's not even the real thing. Don't do that, because that's what you put off. That's what the people are going to hell. The immoral, impure, greedy, those people are going to hell. Don't act like them. Just don't act like them. Be different. Be willing to be different. Because of such things, those who are in darkness, they're going to hell for that. So we need to put it off, right? Just take that stuff and just put it off. Put on Christ. This is a high standard that God is giving us through Paul. That's not what happens in the kingdom of God. We are citizens of the kingdom of God. We are different. When people live this way, they put distance between themselves and God. And when we have a hint of that, we do that as well. All right, verse 8 through 13. He says, you know, you were once that way, right? All of us were once that way. Some of us were like in-your-face sinners. Others of us were kind of religious, not like blatantly that way. But either way, he's reminding you, you put that off. That is gone. So don't act that way. That's darkness. Don't even be associated with darkness. Don't even have it appear to be like darkness. But now you're in the light. Now you're in Christ. You've put on Christ. So if your co-workers are gossiping, heaven forbid that disciples would do that, then we just point it out, right? He says, live as children of light and find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with these things, verse 11, but expose them. Our job as Christians is to expose sin. We expose sin, first of all, by not acting that way at all. So people go, wow, that person's really different. But sometimes we expose sin by saying, hey, that's sin. Right? That's not right. We need to expose. Now, there's balance there. You know, holier than thou people. Nobody wants to be around a holier than thou person. But sometimes people just do stuff and we need to just call it what it is. You know, when people are, guys are, you know, saying stuff about women, blah, blah, blah. I say, really? I definitely don't do that. Really? That's how you think about women? I think I shared the story maybe once before. I can't remember here or not, but I remember I was in a copy shop and the guy next to me was making copies. They were putting on a movie. I won't even say the name of the movie, okay? And I said, really? You're putting on that movie? Yeah. You want to come? I said, that's disgusting. You think of women that, really? That's how you think about women? I think there's a time for us doing that. He says, expose the deeds of darkness. Are you willing to expose the darkness? I think the principal way we expose the darkness is by being light. That's the principal way. All right? Just by being the light. Just by acting like God. But sometimes I believe we expose lust, drunkenness, greed, and gossip by telling it like it is. My favorite in our church here is Rosa. Rosa Santiago. She's somebody who tells it like it is, right? You get around Rosa. If you're doing it, she calls it what it is, right? That's the way all of us should be. The thing is, she does it. It's disarming, right? She's not like holier than thou when she does it. She's just calling it what it is. Help me out. You guys agree? I think when I think about somebody around here that exposes darkness, I think of Rosa. He says, everything should be exposed by the light. But who does the exposing? Well, God does, but how does he do it? Through us. All right. And then let's finish out this chapter. Yep, I think so. Thank you. All right, verse 15 through 20. I'll just 15 through 20 for now. Be very careful then how you live. This is the summary, this whole section. We really have three things going on. First thing going on is unity, right? We had that. Second thing going on is living like children of the light. And so he's summarizing here is, let's be careful then how you live. As you live, Think about how you're living. Think about the impression you're creating by the clothes you wear, by the words you use, by the places you go. People are watching. It's not fair, but non-Christians put you kind of in the spotlight. They want to see you mess up. They do. And when you mess up, you give them an excuse to blow off Christianity. Be careful how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I think what he's talking about is being mindful. That's a big kind of buzzword. Be mindful. That's kind of the big thing right now. But that's actually a pretty good thing. That's good advice. Being mindful means being aware of what you're thinking and what you're doing, okay? Be mindful. And we have the Holy Spirit in us. And he is helping us to be aware of these things. So we need to be wise. We need to be wise about our life, what we say, where we go, how we spend our leisure time. Just pay attention. Pay attention. If we just kind of go through life, that's what fools do. Fools, they don't plan. They just, whatever happens, it comes up, they do it. They just kind of go from here to there. He's saying, no, we should not live that way. We need to consider our lives. In our daily life, consider every situation. That's what got Peter in trouble. He goes, you know, Jesus is on trial, and Peter goes in front of those people around the fire, and they start asking, hey, are you from Galilee? And like, next thing you know, he did something really stupid. He shouldn't have gone in there. What was he doing in there? If he's going to go in there, he should have brought a friend with him. Or if he couldn't bring a friend with him, he should at least have thought through before he went in there, if this happens, what am I going to do? That's what he's talking about, just being wise, using every opportunity. All right, how am I doing here? All right, great. We'll cover it very well, but let's finish the chapter. Let's finish the book of Ephesians, because this guy, Josh, already did most of Ephesians 6, right? So here we go, Ephesians 5:21. So number one, unity. Number two, purity in our life. And number three is roles in the body. All of these things relate to the body, relate to the church, relate to how we work together in glorifying God. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit to yourselves to your husbands as you do to the Lord. This is a really favorite topic, right? Amen. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, the body which he is the Savior of. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In this way, same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated their own body, but they feed and care for their body, just as Christ does the church. For we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother, be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I'm talking about Christ and the church. He's not talking about husband and wife here. He's talking about Christ and his church. However, each one of you must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. We love that one, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so it may go well with you, that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, don't exasperate your children. Bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Slaves, obey your masters. Workers, obey your bosses with respect and fear, with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. Obey them not only to win their favor, but when their eyes not on you, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from his heart, serve wholeheartedly as if you are serving the Lord, not people. Because you know the Lord will reward each one for whatever good they do, whether slave or free. All right, so basically roles in the body. And what's the one sort of principle that pulls all these roles together? It's Ephesians 5:21. Submit to one another. All right? As Christians, we need to be submitting to each other. Paul's going to talk about specific roles, which I don't really have time for. I'm just going to mention them very, very briefly. But really, the one overarching thing that brings all this together is that we submit to one another. We consider the needs of our brothers and sisters before our own. All right? And then he says, wives should submit to their husbands. I'll let the women deal with that issue, so I'm not even going to go into that at all. But I'm going to talk really briefly about husbands loving their wives, okay? All right? How do husbands love their wives? By submitting to them. Ephesians 5:21. Don't pull out Ephesians 5:22 until you read Ephesians 5:21 and put it into practice. Would your wife say with great confidence, my husband really loves me and cares for me? Men? Would your wives, if they're kind of being interviewed, kind of off the side, you weren't in the room, would they say with great confidence, my husband really loves me and cares for me? If not, you're messing up big time. How do you know if you're doing a good job? Well, it says here in verse 27, Christ made the church radiant. So how do you know if you're loving your wife, if your wife is radiant? Like all the time? Well, maybe not all the time. maybe right after they wake up, they're not radiant yet. But is your wife radiant? If you're doing a good job, your wife will be radiant. Well, my wife's always criticizing me and nagging me. She has no time to be radiant because she's always criticizing. Okay, well, what good does it do to focus on that even if it's true, husbands? Just love them anyway. What's that book where the guy gets, the book with the guy, his father tells him just his wife is leaving him and all that kind of stuff. Oh, well, anyway, it's a good movie, but I can't remember. All right. Love. Dare. Yeah, that's a good one. He says, he who loves his wife loves himself. Right? You take care of your own body. He says, love your wife, serve her, listen to her, take her burdens on, do the dishes, clean the bathroom, ask her opinion, take her on a date. All right. By the way, some of those things I do pretty well. Others I really stink at, honestly. But you do take a shower, right? Yeah, you do take a shower. Well, take care of your wife. Children, obey your parents. Well, there may not be children here. Don't worry about that. I'll just say that's good enough. So to summarize, we have every spiritual gift in Christ. Amen. We've been adopted. We have love that is wide and high and long and deep. We are children, adopted children of God. Therefore, let us live this way. Let us make every effort to be unified. Be completely humble and gentle. Let's put off sin. Let's take that old life and let's put it away. Put away every kind of filth and impurity and even the appearance of impurity and greed. And let's take the role that God gave us. Let's embrace it. Let's embrace it. All right. Anyway, thanks for going through the book of Ephesians. I think I have possibly some discussion questions. All right. You can go as long as you want on this one. What part of the old self would you like to put off? Or conversely, what part of the new self do you want to put on? And what does it mean? What does exposing the darkness mean to you practically? In other words, what are some ways that you could perhaps, even though you've not done it up till now, expose the darkness that is around us? Okay, so we could have a discussion for a few minutes. Let me finish this out with a prayer. Thank you, God, for this time of studying the book of Ephesians. It was great, God, to think about your nature, what you've done for us, the mystery that's been revealed, the Holy Spirit that you've given us as a deposit that guarantees our salvation. It's good to think about your love, about the family that we have and that we are. But Father, I pray that as a body of Christians, we would take the advice to be completely committed, to make every effort to stay unified, to put off slander and malice and gossip and these things that are inappropriate, God. Help us to live wisely. Help us to be aware, not necessarily even of sins, but things that could even have that appearance to other people. Without legalism, God, but help us to do that as well. Help us to take on our roles as husbands, as wives, as children, as parents, as workers. Help us to set an example like Christ in all situations. Thank you for this time tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Okay. Okay.
So I need you for like 5 minutes.
Sure. Let me stop this recording first.